more of it, but we are more like, let's make all housing affordable and let's, you know, change the landscape right now rather than just try to raise money to build more subsidized housing. I mean, we're short 40,000 subsidized units in the Metro County. That's not going to happen overnight. So we're sort of focused more on the let's change things right now.
That's great. So there's a lot of groups working hand in hand. That's right. And mm-hmm. there's hope out there for people in trouble.
Well, it's going to take a movement. I mean, we can't do without them. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, that just went by really quick, didn't it?
That did go by really quickly.
I like it. It's already 6:30. You've been listening to Labor Radio on 90.7 KBOO. Thank you so much, Margo.
Thank you for having me on the show. This was great.
Margo Black of Portland Tenants United. I'm Jamie Partridge, co-host here with Ann McDonald and Labor Radio every Monday night from 6 to 6:30. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
In the late 60s, like a harbinger of doom, the heavy metal sound of Black Sabbath emerged from Birmingham, England. Now, in 2016, Black Sabbath has remastered and reissued their first three albums. To explore and celebrate, KBOO will air a two-hour Black and Blue special, focusing both on Black Sabbath and also on Blue Oyster Cult, commemorating the 40th anniversary of the cowbell-driven classic Don't Fear the Reaper. Join Phil G and Scotty G, no relation, on Thursday, March 16th, from 10 p.m. to midnight, as we explore classic cuts from the originators of heavy metal on your community-powered KBOO Portland.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Tonight, my guests are Trish Jordan and Art McConville. Trish is executive director, and Art is a board member of Red Lodge Transition Services. They'll discuss their work in the prisons and how they help Native men and women rebuild their lives as they leave prison and return to their communities. Welcome, Trish and Art.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having us.
So, Trish, tell us about Red Lodge.
Well, we provide a variety of services. Our model is holistic. And so what we do is we try and create a seamless opportunity for people to go from prison back into community. Most of us are here in the Portland metro area, so it does make it difficult when people go into other areas of the state. But we do have volunteers throughout the state, and depending on where people are going, we can help match them up with a mentor.
And what type of help or support or services do you provide?
Well, we provide case management for a few of our women. We don't have a full-time case manager. So that hat belongs to me. I wear many, many hats. But we can help people get their ID. We can help them get their driver's license. We can help them sort out some of their older fines. We take them down and help them get their food stamps. And a lot of times they haven't got their food stamps because they don't even have ID when they come out. So, you know, we'll help make sure that they've got food. I've taken people to the store plenty of times and bought them groceries or taken them and gotten them a food box and bus passes. A lot of the POs don't seem to have bus passes anymore. We have volunteers that'll teach them how to ride public transportation. We have people that will work with them on resume and job search and just somebody that they can feel comfortable with that they can, you know, really head them in the right direction, and people who are clean and sober that they can hang out with. That's really important. They're being released in gray sweatsuits, and all of their belongings are put in a clear plastic bag, or if they can find a box, they'll put them in a box. So about a year and a half ago, we started the Safe Pathways to Home program for the women. And we have had over 100 roller suitcases and backpacks donated. And we have a big clothes closet. And it really doesn't matter who they are. We're supporting all women because it's not safe for them to be released in this way. If somebody's not picking them up, they need street clothes. They need to be able to put their things in a suitcase so that people don't readily identify them as just getting out of prison.
So Red Lodge Transition Services is providing help to people other than Native men and women.
About 20% of the people that we serve are not Native, and about 20% of our clients are male.
And Trish, how many Native Americans are in the Oregon prison system?
Well, according to the Department of Corrections, it's about 2%. But we know that that's not true because we counted them, and it's pretty easy to count them because you know people. So what we estimate is that the women are 7 to 8% of the total women's prison population. There's about 80 women at Coffee Creek. There are 14 state prisons throughout the state of Oregon, one federal prison, which just is for men. We do not know how many Natives we have at Sheridan. I can't seem to find that information out from anyone, and I've never been in Sheridan.
And that is the federal prison here in Oregon.
Yeah, and if the women are going to federal prison, then they're either shipped to Washington or they're shipped to another state. So the men, we figure the men are 4 to 5% of the prison population. I'm pretty sure they're higher in jails than they are in prison, but we just can't keep up with the jails and the racial statistics on the jails. So when you add those percentages together, you actually get about 13%, which is a huge number, a huge disparity number, because we're less than 2% of the total state population. So we do have a real crisis on our hands in regard to our Native people being incarcerated.
So being Native American, how are your transition services helping people after incarceration? How are they different from other transition services or programs in the community?
Well, our program is different in regard to the cultural component and the healing component that we really focus on.
Explain that, Trish.
Well, culture is best practice. I think everybody, you know, can agree on that. There's plenty of statistical data to show that culture is best practice. And it's also best practice to create a relationship before folks are released. Reentry starts upon intake, really. And so what we do by going into the prisons and running sweat lodge ceremony, talking circles, what we're doing is we're helping to form a relationship, a trusting relationship where people can start to change their mindset and really start focusing on how their life might be different if they have the tools that they need and the people that they need to help support them through that new phase in their life. People can and do change, but until you have someone that can really be trusted to guide you in a different direction, it's really, really hard to make that change on your own.
And with us also is Art McConville, and he's a board member of Red Lodge Transition Services. And Art, you do go in the prisons, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
Talk about your work in the prisons with the Native men.
Well, I'm really interested in helping them become aware of tools that they need to be successful in their healing. A lot of them haven't been exposed to their cultural or traditional ways back home. A lot of them grew up in the cities, and we try to bring that to them in some degree at different levels and make them aware that as far as we're concerned, this is the only way to survive, you know, the only way to heal. And it involves a lot of trust, like Tricia's talking about. We have to build that trust between them so that they'll listen to us and pay attention to what we're saying and take it to heart that what we're trying to tell them is helpful, you know.
And Art, what do you do? How do you build that trust with men inside?
Well, to me, the first thing I have to establish is the fact that I understand what they're going through.
And how do you understand that?
From previous experience in my own life. You know, I grew up, you know, in extreme poverty. I grew up in a foster home system and prison system. But I've also been very successful with my life as a Native person. And so I lived in both of those worlds and all of those worlds. And once they understand that, they know that I understand how they feel and why they think like they do and why they act like they do. It creates that connection that a lot of people don't get. I've known a lot of professionals that try to reach these same people and they just run away from them because they don't really understand what they're talking about. They don't really understand how they feel, why they feel. To me, they can walk up to me and say, you know how I feel. You know how you feel when you do this or that. And I say, yeah, and I do. And that establishes that connection.
Give me an example of how you connected with someone.
Well, I have this one friend. He did a lot of time, and he was having extreme difficulty in there because, you know, nobody could really understand why he was responding to society the way he was, you know.
Which was how?
He was totally, I guess, very defiant, very negative towards any form of rules, regulations, stuff like that, and he fought up against everything, you know. And the only thing that he wasn't looking at was the outcome, you know, which is pretty normal. And so I told him, well, the reason I'm here is I'm trying to save, you know, maybe 20, 30 years of your life after you get out, because if you go out there with this attitude, thinking like you do, believing like you do, then you're just going to be right back here again, you know. And so because they understand that I've been through this before and I managed to pull myself out of it, you know, they listen to me. And because I know the trail out of that darkness, you know, I know how to find the healing, how to find those ceremonies and songs that they need to build their life.
And Art, were you connected to your Native culture and spirituality when you were in prison?
No, and that's why I was in prison. Yeah. I tell people, you know, I didn't really learn anything growing up because I grew up in a very negative environment. Everybody I knew was involved with something or other, and nobody taught me anything. And then I ended up in foster homes, and I went in the Marines for 6 years. And when I came back out, only thing I had was the street, so I went back to the street. And it was at that point where I was introduced to culture, tradition, just kind of on the edge, you know. But then it made me hungry for that because it was something I knew that I was a part of, but I didn't really understand it. And that's what most of these guys are going through. They can feel it. They can see it around them. They want to be part of it. Sometimes they want to be hard and try to get away from things, but they still need it, you know. And that's the way I was. I resisted everything else. And it was finally an environment like that where people brought song and ceremony into my life that made me change, made me want to change, or made me be everything else that I could be, you know, because I realized I had a lot of potential and I was an intelligent person, just like they are. I mean, they're really very smart people and they're very good artists, musicians, writers, whatever. And I tell them, I'm not trying to teach you anything. I'm only trying to make you aware of what you already know, you know, who you really are. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to learn that the hard way. And I realized, you know, I could save a lot of people a lot of time by just getting them there before they go too far.
Is Red Lodge Transition Services, are you working with youth or youth as they come out of the prison?
We have a small youth program, and it primarily consists of the youth speaking panel at Oregon State Penitentiary. The Lakota Club has been doing a youth speaking panel for several years. We got involved probably about 3 years ago, bringing young individuals that are just really struggling, or maybe their parents have a history of incarceration, which increases their risk of incarceration, into OSP once a month. And then we have a community partner through Celette's, Rusty Butler. He's also a board member. He brings a lot of the Celette's kids up. the objective of the speaking panel is not scared straight. It's very much the opposite of scared straight. It's these folks from OSP, most of them are doing life, that have really changed their lives. And the culture and tradition ceremony is what has transformed them. And so they share that, you know, they talk about the culture and they talk about making choices and they talk about their crime and how their life changed in a moment. It really impacts these young people. They listen to them before they would ever listen to the adults that are in the room who are trying to help them. So we've had a lot of really good positive outcomes from our youth that are participating, and we hope that we can continue to expand on that program. Mm-hmm.
And what other projects? Are you still trying to raise the Red Lodge?
We are. We are going for it. I mean, we have got to do this, and it is, it's going to be a lot of hard work, but we hope to be able to open a house in October 2016.
Wow. And are you raising funds for that? How can people help, Trish?
Well, they can absolutely help. I mean, we're always going to need financial assistance. We live on a shoestring. We always have. Clackamas County has given us a grant, a community block grant, which will really help a lot, because then we can start to hire some staff, and we need to start looking for a place. If anybody in Clackamas County has a house they want to donate, be happy to write you a receipt for that. We are a 501(c).
And again, I'm speaking with Trish Jordan, Executive Director, and Art McConville, Board Member of Red Lodge Transition Services. So if you can help raise the Red Lodge in Clackamas County, this would be a home for women.
Yes.
Transitioning from prison. And give your website and phone number right now.
Okay, 503-245-4175. Website is www.redlodgetransition.org.
Trish, you have another project that you work on each year that is another fundraiser for Red Lodge, your calendar project. Talk a little bit about that and the wonderful artwork.
Oh, the Native American Prison Art Project, that's my favorite pastime. I wish I had more time to work on it. You know, Native people are naturally artistic, and everything that we used to do was not only functional, but it was beautiful. So there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful art that's being made in the prisons. And in 2007, we got together and decided that we wanted to provide public awareness, and how can we do that? So somebody came up with an idea of doing an art show, and we talked with the women, and so they wrote to their boyfriends, and some of them did some art too, but most of the arts come out of the men's prisons in support of the women. The art is donated to Red Lodge Transition Services. The copyright is signed over to Red Lodge, because if it's really good art, we want to celebrate that art and make some reproductions. All of the proceeds from the art go into a separate bank account. We've raised probably about $30,000 since 2007 with the art. And we have about $55,000 right now in the bank for a down payment on a house, or, you know, whatever we need to do for that house. But the art, what's great about the art, and there's been about 14 or 15 venues with the art. It's been in hospitals. It's been at the Human Rights Center in Portland here. It's traveled throughout the state of Oregon. And what it does is it tells a story. And people who are invisible are now being seen. We also have special guests at a lot of our venues, and we explain about the work that we're doing, and we have clients that will give their testimony about what they experienced when they were first released from prison. Some of these folks did not have Red Lodge when they got out, and it's really important to hear their story, because nobody should be released like that. Nobody should be, you know, having to struggle it's kind of a setup sometimes with how people are being just put out the door
of the prison system.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So these transition programs are so very important. And again, this artwork, you have a traveling display that Red Lodge turns into a calendar each year. So you can go online at their website and purchase a calendar. A 2016 calendar is now available. And those funds are going toward a transition home for women releasing from prison here in Oregon. Trish, talk about your connection to the women inside the programs that you're offering and your meetings with the women inside at Coffee Creek.
Well, I think the most important thing we do is we go in and provide a ceremony. We do two sweats a month at the women's prison. There's a medium and a minimum unit, and the minimum for all the prisons is sweat lodge once a month. It takes two of our volunteers a full day to do sweat lodge. We have to have two volunteers, one on the inside of the lodge, one on the outside of the lodge. So it's very time consuming. We do smudge, we do talking circle. I hold talking circle on the minimum every other Thursday, every second and fourth Thursday. And this gives people an opportunity to really express themselves, and they feel comfortable and safe enough to really talk about some of the things that are going on in their life. And you know, it's really hard in prison because you just don't have any control when you call home and something's going on. And it's just really hard for these women. You know, most of them have children. A lot of folks have had relations pass away when they're incarcerated, and that's really, really hard. Sometimes we go in and we'll help them with cutting their hair and then taking care of that ceremony. It's a connection, not just with me, but with the other natives, because they don't always get to see each other. So it's really important, because they're in different units, for them to just even be in the same room together provides a tremendous amount of support. And then the medium unit, every second and fourth Monday, we do a class for the high-risk women, the women that have a history of going to the segregation unit or behavioral health. And we do a variety of things in there, and special guests. We have a lot of special guests come in.
I know you work with women experiencing trauma. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, all of our people have PTSD. I have PTSD, but I'm, you know, still functional. But for some people, it's so severe that, you know, they just kind of get stuck. And we're not here to cure any PTSD or trauma issues, but because we have a lot of experience in understanding trauma, how it affects us physiologically, psychologically, emotionally, we're able to understand that individual, and a lot of that work is done in the sweat lodge. There's just a lot of things that are keeping us from moving forward, and the amount of trauma that Native people have experienced mostly as children carries on through their adult life. And the first step is that understanding and that acknowledgement.
And Art, are you experiencing that level of trauma with the men that you work with also in the prison?
Yeah, I run into a lot of people who talk about things that are very difficult for them to talk about. And like I say, I can understand a lot of that and feel it with them, because I've been through it too. But it really affects and impacts everything you think and do, you know, on a daily basis. And, you know, we had to help them find a way to get around that, to build some kind of a pathway away from that a little bit until they become strong enough to deal with it. Some of those people I talked to, like, they've been dealing with that same issue that's hurt them for 30, 40 years, you know, just to the point where they want to cry, but they're not going to, because they're men, and, you know, there's a lot of men taught don't cry. But then that's what it's all about, too. We're trying to help them understand that there's nothing wrong with men crying, because it's just part of being a human person. And that's probably my main approach, is to help them understand that humanity, you know, because, man, I always throw that away. And because I did the same thing, I threw it away and really had no compassion and no feeling. And that's how you deal with problems. You just don't care anymore because you can't feel it. You know, just like alcohol or drugs, I guess, you know, just, but it's internal. And so try to break those barriers and get through there, reach that real person and help them deal with it that way, in a spiritual sense and in a healing sense, to find out what their real strength is internally, and then use that to help them heal.
Trish, did you want to add something?
I just think that when you start listening to people's stories are really, really important. And they have to feel like they're being validated, because everybody is entitled to their own feelings. And a lot of times throughout our life, you know, we're being told, you need to get past that, you need to let it go, or, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Nobody has the right to say that. We all have a right to our own feelings. And sometimes things affect us differently. I think one of the things that we do is we really help people realize that they can call upon their ancestors to help them through these times, because really that's where the healing comes. The healing comes from within. You know, when Art's talking about the light, you know, we have to connect spiritually in order for that light to really start coming out and really shining. I grew up in poverty too, single parent home. Both my parents are alcoholics, but I really feel like I have led a privileged life because I've had people in my life that gave me unconditional love and helped me through some times that I could have gone down a different path, and I didn't. And it's because of those people who stood by me and believed me and held me up that I'm the person that I am today.
Art, you mentioned this drama goes back 30 and 40 years. Is there hope? Why do you do this work? Why do you believe that you can help these people?
Well, to me, I think it's a gift, you know, and sometimes I think that all the things I went through in my first half of my life was on purpose to teach me what I needed to know to do what I do today. Because if I didn't experience all the things I did and be involved with all the things that I'm doing, I wouldn't be able to help anybody. And a good example of a person holding things, I met a lady down in Oklahoma at a statewide conference on adult children of alcoholics. It was a talking circle, and everybody has an opportunity to talk about something or another. And then it came my turn, and I told them, well, I can bring you a song, because that's the most important thing to me, bring a song, a spiritual song to them, a healing song. And so I sang this song, and then this lady in the group, she started crying really hard. And cried and cried and cried and cried. And then later on, she came over and talked to me, and she said that I was abused as a child, you know, way back then. She's like 45 years old. And she said, I've never told anybody in my whole life about this. But when that song came out, she said, I couldn't keep it no more. So she had to let it go. And that was a major part of her healing, to get that barrier down where she could step out into reality. You know, not necessarily get over it like right away, but it's just a step one, you know, a step in the right direction. And it's a very powerful way to step out is to believe in spirituality, you know, because to me, that's the ultimate strength and the ultimate answer to everything. And it broke that barrier she had up against the world to hide that or to keep it. But in the meantime, she just suffered with it. There's probably a whole lot of people out there doing the same thing right now, you know, and a lot of people inside that, you know, that are inmates that are probably dealing with things that nobody knows about. And families, same way at home. Somebody needs to sit down with them and help them find that doorway.
Art, would you like to share that song with us?
Well, there's many songs, I guess. As far as I know, there was at least 400 of them in what we do. I'll just sing part of this one song, maybe one verse of it. Oh, 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 I Sounds better when there's like 200 people singing it. So.
Thank you so much, Art. Trish Jordan and Art McConville from Red Lodge Transition Services, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thanks for having us, Karen.
Thank you.
Trish, one more time, please give your website and phone number.
Sure. Website is redlodgetransition.org. The phone number is 503-245-4175. And if anybody has a venue that they would like to offer to put the art in, we'd be happy to do that. It's going to be at Concordia in March. So if you go to the Concordia University Library, second floor, we'll have at least 30 pieces of art on display during the month of March at Concordia.
You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Mike. Good night.
What happens when Oz and Wonderland collide in a twisted brain of a mad composer? A freaking musical, of course. KBOO is proud to present Nick T. Devlin's new musical, Alice Trippin' Sixes. It's a strange and unusual music odyssey. Flying monkeys, scarecrows, jokers, and even midday tokers. Oh, this ain't your normal musical, man. It's a far-out psychedelic trip into the mind of the mad. This is gonna be one wild and crazy musical event, Alice Trippin' Sixes,